Well, hey, good morning, family. Why don't we stand to our feet together as we worship the Lord? And a special good morning to all my friends from Mountaintop. Good to see you guys.
Thank you.
And will the Lord help us to trust him more? Well, good morning, family. And it's good to see you. If you notice a few more light blue t-shirts in the room, it's because I got almost 100 of my favorite people in the world all hanging out with me this morning. How about we give it up for the Mountaintop family? It's back. Man, you're going to hear some stories of some great things that the Lord did. There's a lot of work and sweat that goes in the Mountaintop, but man, God worked while we were up there, and he showed us his grace. And so this morning, we've got a new song in that vein. We're going to sing this new song that talks about the grace of God and how the grace of God really covers just us in so many awesome ways. So we learned this, and we looked this song up for this.
Truth has come and set this captive free. Your love has opened up my eyes to see. Jesus, I'm yours. Forever I surrender all my heart. I'm seeing now you love me from the start. I won't forget the faithful God you are.
Praise the Lord for his grace. Without it, we would not be standing here without the grace of God. So praise the Lord. Hey, you guys may be seated. And I believe one of my other favorite people in a light blue t-shirt is going to come and hang out with us for a little while.
I am going to ask you to stand right up. We're going to bring the kids up right now. We are going to sing. If you have ever been to Mountaintop, it ain't no ordinary singing. We get into it. And so I want you to take your Baptist name tag off. We're going to have a good time. We're going to sing a song with a ton of energy in it. I need to see some bodies moving. I need to see some hands clapping. I need to see some people turning around. You'll know the point in the song when it makes sense to turn around. Keep going, guys. Keep going to your left. This way. This way. This way. Keep flowing. Keep flowing. Keep flowing, Miss Tristan. Keep going.
There's still plenty of steps.
You can come down. Come down a step or two. There you go. There you go. Come on down. Come on down. Come down, guys. Let's go. Let's go. Down. All right. 5 whole days of this. Aren't you jealous? This is awesome. All right, so here we are. Here we are, Mountaintop Bible Camp 2023. We had a great time. We're going to tell you all about it in a second, but first we're going to sing. We just got done singing about grace upon grace upon grace. If you love Jesus Christ, let me see it in the way you move and sing in this song. These kids will put you to shame if you'll let them. Let's share some joy.
Son has found his way back home. He picked me up, he turned me around.
taste. Kevin's going to come up with me, and we're going to just share with you a little bit more about what's going on. I guess we'll get all tripped up. Oh, we got a video to show. All right. Everybody, let's watch a video. Okay, so we just wanted to indulge us for a few more minutes while we just come down off of this high and what God did. So the very first night of camp, before the campers even got there, we asked the question, and maybe you can just answer this in your heart, does God care about winning? Yes, he does. He does care about winning, okay? And Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says, it's the Lord your God that will go with you, ahead of you, to give you the victory. And so we are here with a victory report. The kingdom of God is, by definition, it is our mission to expand that kingdom of God by winning hearts with the gospel, by sharing love, by reassuring some of these young people who have made a previous profession of faith. And the kingdom of God expanded on all of those fronts. And every morning we would kind of recount those victories in our team meeting and just say, hey, where do we see winning? Where do we see victory? So many different ways. I'm going to get you some of the bottom line stuff. Kevin, what were some of the small ways that we kind of thought about what winning looks like this week?
Yeah, so we had children come to camp from literally out of the country. This is their first camp experience, and they chose to send their child to Mountaintop Bible Camp, family from Russia and Ukraine. And they heard the gospel in probably a way they'd never heard it before. So that's a huge win.
I looked over my shoulder as we were singing, and one of the young ladies, Alicia, where are you? Alicia, I'm going to embarrass you. Alicia. So Alicia there, she was one of the young ladies who's still learning and processing English. So I want you to think about the gospel impact of a young lady who's still learning English and her whole week in this English primer with really some one-on-one loving attention from one of our counselors. Just was introduced to Christ. I look over my shoulders, we're singing, and she is singing and just mouthing every single individual word, which just brought joy to my heart. Kevin and I were talking about how, you know, if our mission is to bring the gospel to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, we saw that. So we had our Judea here. We had some people that you know and love, people that are part of our family, come to a saving knowledge, a saving faith in Christ. Specifically, I just want you to know that why this camp matters for our family. So, Kevin, would you share some of the names from our own personal church family that made a huge step forward in Jesus this week?
Zach Worthington, Nate Headley, Natalie Gantz.
We also had three people from our crew. Step forward and say, hey, they want to be baptized. And you know it's hard to have a baptism here without Mountaintop Bible Camp being mentioned. So Angelina and Natalie Gaunce both say they would like to be baptized. And also little Ellie Crack was baptized in the pool with her cousin. And that kind of follows in a really great tradition for the Cracks because many of them have been baptized in the waters up there at Camp Womie too.
Yeah, so just to add to our nephew, we just saw the last slide there. It's Joy's sister and her family. Every year, but it's okay. They're a lovely family, and they go to church, but they don't hear the gospel in a way that we present it with the truth. Their gospel that they hear, I gotta tell you, it's not 100% true. So it's frustrating as a family member. But when they send their kids to Mountaintop Bible Camp, they hear the truth. And they're so excited to hear the truth that they're willing to put their trust in Jesus Christ. So they live in New Jersey, and they wouldn't come to Perry Hall Baptist Church. But they would come to Mountaintop Bible Camp. And our nephew was saved and baptized because of your support and your love and the love and support of all these young people up here.
Something I want to point out, too, is it's just that we are just in this golden period with the team that God has built here. And really, it's just a picture of like the discipleship that we've been pouring into a lot of these kids' lives via our Wednesday nights, via our Sunday mornings, via the school. The young people that we have are they're young adults now. I mean, like a lot of these faces, they were 11, 12 years old when we first trusted them to be part of our team, maybe 13. And then and now they are young men and young women, and the difference makers that they are, the love that was poured into these kids, you can't help but respond to the richness of the gospel when you've been loved on all week. And then even the hands of a feeble speaker, like the gospel just shines. The gospel just shines. And so we had, and one of our sincere goals is not only to bring kids to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but to never offer a child a false assurance of their salvation. Because we don't need 27-year-olds walking around who are just absolute train wrecks, who had some nominal profession of faith when they were 8 years old, but it's never sprung forth and never produced fruit in their lives. So one of our highest callings is to kind of just really spend time one-on-one after the fact, and every adult and young adult here had those one-on-one conversations. But with that said, showing a lot of discernment and prayerfully considering where the kids were at, we want to celebrate 16 young people coming to Christ this week. 16. So when we're repetitively singing there, the "In Hell Lost Another One, I Am Free," that has real meaning. 16 image bearers who are no longer under the power of the enemy, and just praying over them as they would come forward that they would just have a life of fruitfulness, a life of impact, an abundant life here on earth going forward. I wanted to share a couple things. I'm the guy with the microphone a lot that week, and so eyes are on me, and I get naturally the kids are going to respond to me. But really, I got a couple of letters that really go to the group, even though I was the recipient. And so let me just read this. And I don't the counselors haven't heard this yet. Dear Pastor Chris, I feel like I've been changed. So if you can see this up here, change is in like mega caps, size 50 font. I've been saved. We didn't ask the child to write this. This was out of the overflow of her heart. I feel like I've been changed. I've been saved. I'm a child of God, boldface, and I'm proud to be one. Thank you so much for making me understand that I was weak without God. I was also a little disappointed when I heard that a lot of people don't know God, right? So even developing a heart for the lost and these little ones. Love this young person, a child of God. She is one of our own, by the way, that wrote it. I got another sweet, and just the levels that's going on to see these young boys in the cabin. And we all know that a 9-year-old boy and a 9-year-old girl can be very different, right? And so just reaching the hearts of the boys. I got this beautiful, sweet letter from one of our very own. And it's got 4 or 5 pictures and diagrams of all of our activities. And they're actually awesome. A Gaga pit and a water slide and the shaving cream battle and a couple of things. But basically, just from the overflow of his heart, thank you for this week. This week mattered to me, okay? And I love you, right? So like that doesn't get old. And so like this, what we're stirring up in their hearts, just this community of faith, it is addictive. I was telling Pastor Dave this morning. I think I told it to the staff. I don't ever really want to be famous. If this is what the Lord calls me to do, if this is my life's work, then my tank is full. And I think Kevin feels exactly the same way. Kevin just cries when he says it, so I'm different than Kevin. Yeah.
You have no feelings, Chris.
Yeah, right. Is that what it is? I'm a robot.
Yeah.
So from the depths of our heart, I want to thank you. This doesn't happen without this church saying that this is a priority. And I also just want to highlight that, especially as the young people get older, like Marissa Chester had other things to do this week. Joy had other things to do this week. I could go on. All of the adults have, Kenny has another camp. He just got from a camp where he was the leader. He's going to be the main speaker at another camp in a couple of weeks. Each of these young people, especially these older ones, as I look at Emma and Lily, Allison, Maddie, et cetera, they have other things that they're being asked to do, legitimate things, internships and opportunities, and they need to earn money because college costs money. But they said, no, I'm going to plant my flag here this week because the gospel matters. And so many of you have been in their situation. As I look at this young man over here, who I know his heart was with us, but he real life calls sometimes. So I am grateful to you guys because it's an expensive operation. And we could barely get into the kitchen. There's so much help and support and love in the amount of volunteer power that is in the kitchen. I know Kim Sloan really appreciates that.
They should probably come up.
What's that?
They should probably come up. No, she's shaking her
head.
No.
Stand up, Kim. Just, stand up, Kim.
Yeah, just come on, John.
Stand up, John, too. Yeah. And we ate really well. We had a new food set up this week, and it was actually really great. I think I've run out of things to say, except I hope you can hear the joy in my heart.
Yeah, so Mr. Larry and Miss Julia Bondar, who've been running this camp for 300 years, something like that. They've entrusted us to do some things differently than we would have done over the years, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But how I know things are working is because when you see those pictures up there, there's not a frowny face up there.
Nope.
And it's not because I say smile. It's just like, take my picture. I'm so happy. And that brings me great joy because they're excited to do the water slide. They're excited to do the shaving cream battle. They're excited to play games. But the level of excitement in the chapel is double all that other stuff. And for that, we just thank God that these boys and girls are willing to just let it all hang out and praise and worship. And Mr. Larry and Miss Julia, August 4th will be 50 years of marriage. So that's something to celebrate. That's no small accomplishment. And I think represented on stage today is at least 40 of our campers. And I think that's a pretty good number. We don't always get 40 campers coming back because of other commitments and other things going on. But if your family is here for the first time, partly because of Mountaintop Bible Camp, and you don't have a church home, we're here every Sunday at 10 a.m. And it's fun and it's exciting. It's not Mountaintop every week, but it's pretty close. So right. We would encourage you guys to participate in a Life Imperial Baptist if you don't already have a church home.
As a send-off moment, our teaching this week featured, as you see in the back of the shirts, that 1 Samuel 16:7, that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And as a key teaching point, hopefully they carried this home, is ask them about a dented can. And ask them about what a dented can means and how that represents them and what the Lord does with dented things. So it was fruitful. I grow every year in Jesus, and I think that universally we can say that true. So we just want to say on behalf of all of us, thank you. And also on behalf of all of us, thank you, Jesus, for being who you are. He showed up in a big way.
Amen. So we'll dismiss the kids in a minute, but if you're here for the first time and you want to send your child, your fifth grade and under, to Children's Church, you can head out this door. When the crowd dismisses, you'll see other people go that way. Just to give you an idea of what the children can do. Or they can sit with you guys. And you maybe want to pray for us. That sounds
like
a good idea.
Father, thank you for just the stirring of these young people's faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being there. Lord, every time we've asked, you move, and and there's a sense in which it surprises me, Lord, but in another sense, it's exactly who you are. You are mighty to save. Father, we pray for these young people, particularly the young ones who made a first-time profession of faith, that you would work the soil of their heart, and that seed that you planted that first sprouted on Wednesday night, it would grow and it would flourish. And Lord, I pray that you would give that young person people in their life to tend to that new life, to cultivate it, to prune it when necessary. Lord, I pray for the families that were there that invested some trust in us, that they would continue to invest that trust in us, that we would see these faces on Wednesday night so that we could bring these young ones to a mature, vivacious, world-changing kind of faith. In your name, amen. All right, young people, it is time for Sunday school. So if you're going to Sunday school, it's a good time to head on out that way. Other than that, we can either sit together or you can sit with mom and dad, whatever makes sense.
Cool. See you guys later. We had a good time. Good seeing you guys again. Hopefully I'll see you all again on a Wednesday night here in this building or with the Refinery for the Bonfire. We had fun. The only thing I would say is that, man, you gotta ask your students about and your kids about the time that we had. The pictures up there, Kevin did a great job with that slideshow. It does not capture, it doesn't even capture 1/100th of how much fun we had up there. There was a ton that happened. So, as the kids are heading out, I got a couple of quick announcements for you, and then just a quick reminder that if you are not getting the announcements, make sure you email Lori at the office so you can get the church newsletter. But the big thing is that, kind of rolling with our continued camp schedule and our busy summer here at Perry Hall, in 2 weeks we have Adventure Camp here at the church, which is our VBS. So that's super exciting. But that being said, I believe a few of us made some commitments about some food we were going to bring, money we were going to bring, that kind of thing, in order to help with that effort. Again, we learned this at Mountaintop. We ate more food. I believe we ate more food than they eat when they're on a cruise. I'm so serious. I gotta give a huge shout out to three people too: Kim Sloan, John Sloan, and Sherry Parliament. Between those three, I had bacon almost every day, and praise the Lord for you. You laugh, but that's a serious thing. I needed that in my life. But seriously, August 6th, if you committed to make a donation to the Adventure Camp effort, your donation is due August 6th. So please make sure you bring that in just so that we have an accurate idea of the resources that we're working with. So please, please do bring in your things by August 6th or before August 6th would be really, really great. Also, I believe Adventure Camp is still, and I'm looking for Christy, is still looking for some volunteer help. We can use one or two more muscles, particular age group at all? Young folks. Okay, so we're looking for someone to help out, or a couple people to help out with the young folks. So if you have for some reason not donated some muscle to any of the things happening in the summer here at Perry Hall Baptist Church, you're missing out on what is super fun around here. So please do see Christy Hyman. Join the team for Adventure Camp. Also, join the team for Kids Church. And if you look really closely, this is pretty cool. Down at the bottom, get the L, bottom left of the screen there is the new logo for what's going to be happening with kids on Wednesday nights, which is called Campfire. So we got Kids Church and Campfire on Wednesday nights. That's really, really fun. Join me also in my petition. We have Campfire for kids. We'll have Bonfire for students. I'm trying to get Pastor Dave to change his class name to Pillar, as in Pillar of Fire. Pastor Dave will talk about this later. I'm sure I'm in trouble now. But anyway, please do contact Laura Overholt so that you can volunteer to serve our children at the Campfire Ministry or in Kids Church Sundays or Wednesdays, respectively. That being said, I think I've got all the announcements done. Love you guys. Have a great morning.
Everybody loves you, Kenny.
I love you.
I
love all these guys too.
But don't put an ID out in public before checking with me. I'm just kidding. So much I want to say to follow up on all of that excitement, but a couple things come to mind. One, the Pindells were thinking about how to do recruitment for future mountaintops. And so Zach and Becca are now the proud parents of another little baby. Tell me name, Dave. Okay, so maybe in the first year we'll get the name of the baby. But they're proud grandparents, and Doug and Carol, great grandparents or whatever it is. But we're excited to announce that for Zach and Becca and baby Pindell. So good news. We're always trying to find a way to keep making sure Mountaintop stays crowded. So we're glad for that. Did you just see the excitement on the faces of everybody as they were singing? And it just is an overflow of a week of what God was doing in the hearts of adults and kids. And so I think we all share in that excitement. We've prayed for them. Many of you prayed individually. And so this is a culmination of all of that. And to be able to loudly proclaim God's goodness is certainly one of the great joys we have as a church family. Now let me ask you, I'm such a smart aleck. Would you think Mountaintop would be more fun to watch it on a video or be there? Wouldn't you see? Could you see how cool it was that to be there would really be different than just watching? That goes for church too. And this is a note to those that are listening online, to those that don't come every week. You know who you are. If you're here, we're glad you're here. If you're visiting, we're glad you're here. But just as at Mountaintop, there's nothing like being there live. There is nothing like worshiping together as a church family together on Sundays. There is no replacement. There is no live streaming that will ever convey the grace that God has for us when we come together and celebrate by not only command, but because of joy to be here and to celebrate. So I just want to encourage you, if you know somebody that is not here with us, that's a friend of yours, that's part of our church family, on a typical Sunday, two-thirds of our church family show up. Two-thirds. The average attendance today for a Christian, a born-again evangelical Christian, quote, end quote, the average attendance has now come at about 1.8 Sundays a month. That's just the reality because of the busy world we live in. So I'm just encouraging you, it is better to be here. Folks, we're talking about heaven. This is a taste of heaven when God's people get together to worship the Lord in music, in prayer, in fellowship, and in the reading and studying of preaching of his word. This is a taste of heaven. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. So I'm encouraging those that are online. We're glad that mechanism, that technology exists, but it is a backup for when you're sick, when you're shut in, and when you're on vacation or working. Certainly all those things are important and may prohibit you from being here. But the option of simply staying home, and I'm preaching to the choir, this is the funny thing, the option of staying home is not an option. If it's just out of convenience or comfortability. So just as it is a live experience at Mountaintop, I'm wearing this shirt. I'm an imposter. I didn't do anything but go and taste and see the goodness of Mountaintop this week, and I get a shirt. I guess I'm the pastor. But it's something to behold, and it is something to be here together. So let's enjoy that, and please reach out to somebody you know that is not coming regularly and encourage them to come back and spend time with us. If you're visiting with us today, we're glad you're here, whether it's part of Mountaintop or otherwise. And we're in the midst of a series here at Perry Hall on questions that people have submitted to us. Ask the pastors, and there's far more questions than I will ever answer, at least in this series, in the next couple weeks. But we've looked at things like praying without ceasing. What is our inheritance in heaven like? What is our inheritance? And last week we did, what is heaven going to be like? If you want to go back and look at that, I would encourage you to go back and read that, watch that. But there was enough questions that I could formulate one more question about heaven, and that's what we're going to do today. Plus, there was a lot of feedback positively that this topic of heaven is not nearly preached enough. We don't meditate on heaven enough. We don't think about it enough. And several of you mentioned that this is just a great whetting of your appetite to talk about heaven. And for the last 2 weeks, I have immersed myself in a study of heaven, and it has blessed me greatly. So again, I want to say to you, if you're here visiting, we're talking about heaven. We're excited about heaven. Our prayer would be that each and every one of you would know the grace of Jesus Christ in a saving way, and that your future home is with him in heaven. If you will turn with me to Psalm 84, we have much to look at. Psalm 84 to start our time, and then I will pray. So if you have the handout, we've tried to position people at all access points to make sure you could get the sermon outline in advance. And we're looking at the question today related to heaven, but we're really thinking about what will be the impact of heaven. In other words, living in light of the promise of heaven is our message today. Living in light of the promise of heaven. And you say, what does that mean? Living in the light of the promise of heaven. In other words, how does this beautiful picture that the Bible gives us of heaven, not an exhaustive picture, but a glimpse of heaven, how does it impact, transform our lives now? But before we go to the primary scripture in Colossians, I want you to see here a prayer from Psalm 84, a hymn, a prayer that expresses the longing of hearts to be in the courts of God. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, or sorrow, they make it a place of springs. The earthly rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Let's pray. Our Father, we have gathered together as your saints, as your children, as heirs, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We have gathered together to praise your name, to worship you, Lord. And in a sense, we continue to worship what was expressed from each heart from the mountaintop group. This sense of worship at what you did in their lives and in their midst this week. And Father, you could hear that attitude of dependence and thanksgiving. Father, you could hear it from Chris and from Kevin as they expressed how much this camp this week matters. Father, as do all of our ministries and even the upcoming adventure camp, Father, we want to continue that attitude of praise and worship. And Father, we want to recognize the privilege we have to come together this morning and to get a foretaste of heaven. Father, your word and it tells us what an amazing celebration it is from a huge feast, a marriage supper, to a time of multitudes upon multitudes praising the Lamb who was slain, joining tribes and tongues and nations together with praise for you, Father. That is our hope. That is our promise. That is our future. And yet we taste it today, but Father, not to its fullest extent. And so we pray that you would work in our midst today, that you would increase our longings for heaven. Father, that you would increase our desires to be with you in that perfect eternal state. And so, Father God, meet us, even as the psalmist prayed, hear our prayers. We pray you'd hear our prayers, and there may be a supernatural work of your Spirit in our midst this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can flip to the New Testament, to the book of Colossians, which will be our launching point today. The book of Colossians, chapter 3. The sermon last week, the message was, what will heaven be like? And we talked about the things that will be no more. No more death, no more sin, no more evil, no more curse, no more night, no more crying, no more mourning, no more broken relationships, no more sickness, and on these are the no mores. And then we talked about what will be the for sures, the for sures, namely that we will be with Christ, we will commune with him, we will worship him, we will serve him. We will work in heaven because that's how we're designed. There will be his glory will be so amazing that it will light up all of heaven. I believe there will be physical bodies and that we will be there and we will be like ourselves. We will be who we are, but we will have been perfected and glorified and made like him. Isn't that amazing? If anybody's longing now for anything, boy, long for that, right? To be with him and to be made whole and to experience this wonder of eternity with him in these glorified bodies that he has given us. And it's going to be something. I do realize I'm acknowledging up front two things. One sermon, two sermons, five sermons or more would not be enough to talk about the glories of heaven. We would need more time. This is a different kind of series. Several people have asked, when are we going to have a class so we can study this more in depth? Or when can we come back? Or maybe I would encourage you to study on your own and recommend a book or two, one by Randy Alcorn on heaven, which is just a wonderful look at heaven. He does such a wonderful job. Johnny Erickson Tata also wrote a book called Heaven, Your Real Home. So I would encourage you to look up them. More technically and more apologetic is Lee Strobel's book on the case for heaven. But I would encourage you to do that. We're just doing a glimpse. And today, the focus is very narrow. So I'm acknowledging, number one, that I am not doing an expositional sermon on Colossians chapter 3. We'll get there in probably 2034. So this is narrow. I'm really focused on this idea of setting our minds on things above. Number two, I am not expecting you to think or me to think that we're going to cover all about what it means that we believe in heaven, that we're going to attend heaven there and how that impacts us. But what we would like to do for the next few minutes, we want to take a look at this idea of living with an eternal perspective. Living your life and mine in the light of the promise of heaven, as a question we say, what does it look like, or how do we live in light of the promise of heaven? Read with me these few verses in Colossians 3. The Psalm 84 was simply to get us going and to see somebody that longs for heaven. And here, let's look at now this idea of living in light of the promise of God. If then, verse 1, chapter 3, you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now look at this, this beautiful, Colossians, by the way, four chapters. Paul wrote Colossians to a church about 100 miles east of Ephesus. He was not the founder of Ephesus. Most likely Epaphras was the founder of this church. I'm sorry, of Colossae. But Paul was writing this letter to encourage early church Christians and us by application. But the early church, because of some false doctrine in the church, that's what he's writing. And as is Paul's custom, the first half of the book deals with theology, the doctrine. The second half of the book deals with practice, how we live out what we know. Here's who we are. This is how it looks. Chapter 3 is the second half of Colossians, and so this begins the practical side of the theology. You saw in verse 1 of chapter 3, if then. Now that relates to what has come before it, if this is true, chapters 1 and 2. But it almost assuredly points back to verse 12. Let me show you verse 12 of chapter 2. Chapter 2, Colossians, verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him, that is Christ, from the dead, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us of all of our trespasses. Then he has a section there that digresses a little bit. And then we come to this verse 1 of chapter 3. As if to pick up from verses 12 and 13. On this beautiful and somewhat beyond our grasp of the life that we have as believers in Christ. And this spiritual supernatural reality that believers, as pictured in baptism, died with Christ in his death and rose again with him in his resurrection. This is, in many ways, this beautiful look at the gospel. We do it every time Chris baptizes somebody or I baptize somebody. We're buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Baptism picturing this beautiful gospel. And Paul is encouraging and admonishing and exhorting the early church and us to live in response to, in gratitude for, this amazing spiritual change that took place. We, folks, you are not a resurrected believer if you didn't first have a death. You must die to self and to sin, spiritually speaking. Then ongoing, we die to sin. But you have to be at one in union with Christ in his death, and therefore in union with his resurrection. So in this first verse of chapter 3, if then you have been raised with Christ, you died with him, your sin paid for at the cross, all upon Christ, forgiven of your sins, then receiving his righteousness given to you, if then you have been raised, this resurrection life, this resurrection power with Christ, then look at the next line, which is my narrow focus. Seek the things that are above. You'll see it again in verse 2. Not only seek, but set your minds on things that are above. This means to think about, to deliberately, consciously contemplate, meditate, observe, be concerned with the things that are above. Ephesians 1:3 says, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. To be a Christian is to meditate on the things above, to to be heavenly minded. You've heard about some people, they're so heavenly minded, they are. I haven't met many people like that. If you are truly heavenly minded, you will be of tremendous earthly good. Could there be an exception to that? Sure. But generally, to be heavenly minded has a present impact in our lives. And I would like to break that up into three ways for this morning and the short time we have left. And I'm going to look at how it impacts our walk with God, how it impacts our relationships with others, and how it impacts the stewardship of our lives, our resources, our treasures. And so hopefully that's what the Lord will do over the next 20 minutes or so. Number one, living in light of the promise of heaven impacts, transforms our walk with God. Turn with me to 2 Peter. We'll come back here, but turn with me for 2 Peter. A few more books over. Second Peter chapter 3, on this idea of thinking of heaven and its impact on our lives today. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter, I'm going to pick up with verse 11. Let's go to verse 10. 2 Peter 3:10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away. I'm in 2 Peter 3:10. The heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Verse 11. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Folks, what kind of people should we be in light of the truth of the eternity with Christ in the new heavens and the new earth? And now we're spending eternity with him in a heaven more beyond our imaginations. If that is true, what kind of people ought we be today? And if you think this has no relationship one to the other, you have missed the teaching of Scripture. If you think that there is a way to sign a card or walk an aisle simply to change your future status, which is a wonderful thing, but without a life that reflects, not that the life causes your salvation, it demonstrates that you've been saved. What kind of people ought, better, what kind of person ought I to be? What kind of person ought you to be? That kind of person, he says, lives of holiness and godliness. When we think about living in the light of the promise of heaven, our walk with God, three quick points under walk with God, it motivates our godly living. It motivates, in other words, because of what Christ has done through Christ for us, because of what he has prepared for our future, because of the relationship we now have, Christ in us, the hope of glory, that motivates you and I out of a heart of gratitude to live godly and holy lives. Keep reading there. Verse 12. Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, here's that promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now look here. Therefore, This motivated to godly. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found in him, by him, without spot or blemish, and at peace. This is the people we ought to be, people that in the conduct and character of our lives are blemish-free, without spot. In other words, we have been made perfect as those who are in Jesus Christ, but this motivates our lives to match who we are in our conduct, in our character, in our actions, in our attitudes, because of the promise of heaven and a future looking directly into his face, spend eternity in his presence, worshiping, serving him, fellowship with one another, living out as image bearers will be very much hinted at in our lives now, for sure, if not more than that. We're motivated to live that way because of what he's done. Number two, under this walk with heaven, a walk with God. The promise of heaven not only motivates our living godly and holy lives, it reorients our thinking. Look back now at Colossians 2, 3. We can go back to our passage in Colossians 3. It reorients our thinking. Verse 2, Colossians 3, 2. Set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. Now, let me see if I can give us a snapshot of what it looks like, practically speaking, to be motivated to live holy by the power of the Spirit working in us, living God-like lives, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It looks this way. That's a heavenly life versus the earthly life. And Paul goes on to describe it. Look at verse 5. He talks about this picture again of putting to death, this death to self and to sin. But look at the example of the earthly life. Colossians 3:5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in your sexual immorality, your impurity, your passion, your evil desire, and your covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, on account of these, the wrath is coming. This is the earthly life. On account of the wrath of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. And he goes on to describe more of the earthly framework or inclinations, sins. Put them all away, verse 8. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. So put off. These are earthly. But because of heaven and the motivation to live godly, we've got this new reorientation to live with a different kind of thinking. Look at this thinking, though. Heavenly now. That was earthly. Look at heavenly, verse 12. Heavenly thinking. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. But of all these things, put on love. Do you see the difference on the heavenly minded and the earthly minded? Now, folks, if you haven't figured out, this entire world system is intending to mess with your mind and your heart. What you watch on TV, what you listen to on the news, the entertainment you choose, the social media you're addicted to, all of it, to quote Tony Reinke, says these are spectacles designed to capture our thinking in our hearts. You know, an easy way to think earthly and not put your minds on thinking above? Spend all of your time absorbing earthly things. Spend all of your time observing and absorbing earthly things. And we talk so often about discipleship. If you're not discipled by the power of the Spirit through the Word of God, you will be discipled by the world we live in, the culture we live in. Your thinking and mine is impacted every day by the messages we are hearing. The world is under the sway of the enemy, is capturing our minds. I know this is such a strong thing for Chris and the team in the youth group, trying to help the kids have a proper balance with their phones. And I think, Chris, this goes to adults too. We all need to be careful. We could use some time away from our stinking phones, couldn't we? From the entertainment that is changing the way we think and how we look at earthly or above. So it motivates our godly living under walk with God. It reorients our thinking. And the key phrase here is in verse 16. I didn't read it yet, but it is, let the word of God dwell in you richly. You want to get your thinking straight, spend time daily in his word. Dwell on his word. Meditate on his word. Memorize his word. Fill your mind with things of heaven. Fill your mind with things of eternal value. Seek ye first, you could quote it with me, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not what the pagans seek. We seek heavenly things. It not only motivates, it reorients, but it gives us a new perspective as those walking with God. What do I mean by that? Christian, our view of heaven, this eternity with our Savior and our Lord, will impact how you see life happening around you. When you lose a loved one, when you lose a parent or a child, a close friend, and you're faced with death, setting our minds on heaven will not only motivate your lifestyle and reorient your thinking, but it will transform your perspective to see death differently. Let me say this again. I am not in any way saying that we don't suffer and hurt, or that all of God's beautiful promises of comfort wouldn't make sense. The idea in 1 Thessalonians 4 that we don't grieve as the world does, but we do grieve. Please hear me. We grieve. It's real. We don't need to deny that pain, but I want you to know, when you think heavenly minded, when you set your minds on things above, when you saturate your mind with the thinking that there's a heaven coming, and this world, Philippians 3:20 says, is not my home. I am simply passing through. You see how that starts to impact how you see death? I can only speak for myself. You need to walk through this yourself. But suffering is different for the believer. The pain that we endure, the trials, the tribulation, the loss, the crying is real. It's human. But our perspective changes when I think heavenly. When Tim died, my brother, on January 11th, we cried. We cry with you and all the losses we've had recently. But I do not dwell on it. And some would say, well, you must be hard-hearted. No, I am heaven-hearted. What I mean by that is death was defeated at the cross. My perspective has changed. I do not have to fear. You do not have to fear death anymore. Now, humanly, we fear the dying process. See the difference? None of us wants that. But not dying. You cry as long as ever. You mourn that loss as long as it takes. And some of that will be with us until eternity. But please, folks, get your eyes to a point you see death differently. As I said last week, Adrian Rogers, death for the Christian is just a comma, not a period. We are made for another world, Lewis said. The preacher in Ecclesiastes 3:11 said, God put eternity in our heart. We will all live forever in heaven or in hell. You see this beautiful thing? It changes our perspective. Suffering is momentary, Paul says. Pain is momentary, and yes, it can last for a long time. The famous pastor from the 1600s, Richard Baxter, suffered so much his entire life, and yet he wrote a book called, his most famous book actually, The Saint's Everlasting Rest. And he lived a life of suffering, resting in his promise of a future home. Oh, this is good stuff, folks. That's the end of the walk with God part for now. Second one is, how does it affect our relationships with others? A couple quickies. We'll move faster now. I already read about compassion, kindness, forgiveness. When you think and live in light of eternity, in light of heaven, it can't help but impact each and every relationship you have. It impacts how you treat people. It impacts how you're going to love people, how you're going to sacrifice for people, what you're willing to give up, in other words, for people. Because you're looking at something that's far greater than this world. You're looking for investing into the future. You're looking at what it looks like to lay up treasures in heaven. Bigger than that, this promise of heaven, living in light of it, folks, please get this. You probably think I'm like a broken record. When we are living in light of the promise of heaven, it impacts my relationships, not only how I treat people, recognizing that everything we do has heavenly impact. But get this, it impacts how we see lost people. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you've never run to Him in repentance. One great theologian said, if God Christ was willing to stretch out His arms to be nailed to the cross, how much more so would He be willing to stretch out His arms to receive a sinner that runs to Him? Folks, if we truly believe in this heaven, if we truly believe in this life with Christ forever, why wouldn't we be about the business of helping fill the ranks of heaven? Why wouldn't you want to be front lines in the great business of sharing the gospel with people that don't know Christ? I'm not talking about sharing religion. I'm not talking about what church do you go. I'm talking about, do you have a relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ? And if you don't, may today be the day. But for the believers in this room, heaven changes how you see each and every lost person in your life. In heaven, we'll be so good, we could spend years trying to say all that we wanted to about it, but God has not given us everything. As a matter of fact, everything the Lord wants us to know about heaven, we know. It stretches our minds. But we're going to have worship in heaven. We're going to serve in heaven. We're going to create. We're going to build. I believe all of that. We're going to continue this heavenly existence. But one thing you will not do in heaven is share the gospel so that people will be saved. That's the task now. In other words, because heaven's promise is real, I'm going to live every day seizing every opportunity to make sure that no one that's in my sphere of life, in my circle of influence, doesn't at least know the truth of the gospel. That's how we get motivated by heaven, because we want them there with us. I go to get my hair cut at this local place, and I'm trying to build a relationship, so I keep going to the same one over and over. I don't even know if it's any good. You can be the judge. It seems way too expensive, but I haven't learned how to do hair like Chris. They just do this razor or something. But each time I try to fit in some language into the discussion to a girl that has no faith. God exists, He doesn't exist. I don't know, she says. It's perfectly okay. But I said, let me ask you, if the story of Christ is real, and she knew that from Catholic upbringing, if you know that Christ is real and the story is true and the Bible is telling the truth, it's God's word, so it has to be true, and the crucifixion and the perfect life and the resurrection and the ascension 40 days later and his session in heaven, that is all true. And if people that don't trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will spend eternity in hell, I said to her, would it be loving for me not to tell you? She said, no. I said, so it is loving for me to tell you that this is your choice to make. She says, that makes sense. I don't know what her eternal destiny is, but I want to stand between her and hell, don't you? Finally, what does it do? There's so much more to say, folks, but I'm skimming along. There is finally the way it affects our stewardship of our resources and our talents and our treasure. Let's flip to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Right in the middle of Jesus' greatest sermon, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, we see this wonderful treasure passage. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. I hope you'll get there, but I'm going to start reading. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's heavenly thinking. You're not worried about the treasures here, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in. And then look at this. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This heavenly thinking, this keeping our minds set on things above, this idea of living in light of the promise of heaven says that with my time, my talent, and my resources, number one, I'm going to live as the most generous person in the world, and so are you. Whatever that means within your abilities, that we're going to be generous people because we're laying up treasures, not here, but in heaven. We're going to use our time and our talent to do things that matter heavenly more than simply on earth. We're going to live our lives and spend our time. We're going to redeem the time, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Redeem the time. And time there is not chronos, like a watch. It's opportunity. It's seasons. We're going to redeem the season that God has given us, the opportunities that he has given us. We're going to use everything in our power to redeem the time. And we're going to number our days. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, Lord, teach us to number our days. Folks, let's see if it tests you. See if you knew this one. Dave Moyer is on day 21216. 21,216 today. That's a lot of days, isn't it? 21,000. Everybody's starting to do the calculations to see if this guy's crazy. I double checked. 21,216. If the Lord gives me 10 more years, I've got how many days? 3,650. Good. If I live 5 years, I got 1,825 days. You see, the number of days, and I'm not asking you to obsess over this. I'm trying to make a point. God intends for us to redeem today and live in light of heaven and my mind set on heavenly things, spiritual truth, spiritual realities. I want to live that way for day 21,217, because I don't know which days I have left. I want to live that way. You may have heard of the name Borden Dairy. One of the biggest dairy companies in the world. In the early part of the 19th century, William Borden, heir to the empire of the Borden Dairy, he was worth already $50 million. That's a lot of money in the 1840s. He had a chance to take the company, and he could do anything he wanted. He was wealthy. He had spent a year traveling. His parents sent him to Yale. He became a godly influence in what used to be a Christian university at Yale. He eventually did some studies at Princeton. William Borden could do anything he wanted and never have a care, with money that he could never spend. And the Lord got a hold of him. The Lord changed his thinking. He gave it up all of that because he wanted his time here to matter. So William Borden said goodbye to his mom, to his family, to his friends, to his money. He gave up everything. And William Borden went to the mission field. He wanted to spend time in China with a specific group of Muslim pagans, Kanzu people. And he stopped in Egypt to get his training in Arabic. At the age of 25, while in Egypt, he developed spinal meningitis. Very shortly after that, William Borden, after giving everything up, not yet in the mission field, died of spinal meningitis. He wrote in his Bible these three phrases: no reserves, no retreats, no regrets. No reserve, no retreat, no regrets. That's a life that's focused on heaven. That's a life that is heavenly minded. That's a life that says all of my resources belong to the Lord, not to build up treasures and bigger houses and all of these things. And by the way, inherently none of those things are evil. It speaks to the idea of the motive of the heart and what we're building. You remember the Canadian-born singer, and this will be my last story, I promise, and then I'll close this out. The great Canadian singer, some of you with a little bit of gray on top will know this name, George Beverly Shea. George Beverly Shea, when he was a young man, he was working for the New York Mutual Insurance Company and making a name for himself. But somebody heard that he could sing, and he ended up getting a chance to become a famous singer. Chris, this hits me when you said you don't care about fame, you don't care if anybody knows your name, but doggone it, Mountaintop has filled your heart. Well, George Beverly Shea could have been the greatest singer, maybe was, in the secular world, and he was offered contracts to become a secular singer. And they said, occasionally we'll let you sing a Christian song, but we really want to see this booming voice used and sing secular songs. And so he is facing that decision. Is he going to live for things above or things on this earth? And one Sunday morning, George Beverly Shea is sitting at his piano, and his mom, intentionally and providentially, left a poem written by a lady by the name of Rhea Miller. And he read the poem as he was trying to decide what to do with his life. How would he spend it? How would he number his days? How would he redeem the time? How would he live motivated to be godly and reoriented in his thinking and heavenly perspective and all these things? He read the poem. In that very instant, he put music to the poem. Let me get that right. Music to the words. He even sang it in church. What kind of talent is that? Read the poem in the morning, set it to music, sing it at church, same day. It changed his life. As you know, George Beverly Shea went on to become Billy Graham's singer for 60 years. Billy did not want to preach unless George sang first. It's a great story. He lived past 100 years old. But I wanted to see if you knew the poem. Maybe some of you do because you're more historically astute than me. This is the words to the poem his mother wrote that George put to music when he contemplated a life heavenly minded, living with the promise of heaven, my mind on things above. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand, than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than worldly applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. Yes, I'd rather be true to his holy name. That's heavenly perspective, isn't it? And he gave up the career, and it said by the time he stopped singing that he had been singing to audiences more than any other human being live because of the Billy Graham crusade. So, folks, time brings us to a close. A couple questions for you to take away. One, is your mind set on things above? Is your mind set on things above? Or are there other priorities that have drowned out that heavenly music? Is your mind set on things that last, things above? Number two, is where you're spending your time, how you're living your life, what will last? What will last about what you're doing today? 1 billion years from now, 1 billion years, will what you're doing matter? Last one. When people look at you, do they know you're from a foreign country, that you're home somewhere else? Do they know you're a stranger? They won't understand, folks. This is supernatural life. This is life hidden, it says, in Christ. Will people see that there's something different? Mind set on heavenly things. What we're doing, will it last? Will people see the difference? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful, wonderful message of heaven. Father, thank you for sharing in the scriptures everything we need to know and leaving some sense of mystery that gives us a sense of expectation and anticipation and mystery. What we do know, Lord, is beyond what we could hardly imagine. What we don't know is indescribable. Father, may you speak to each heart here today, wherever we are, and have us do an honest assessment of our longings, our groaning, our earnest desires. Are they for heaven and to be with you? Are they for things that matter to you? Are we resting in you? Are we living our lives motivated, reoriented, with new perspective? Are we looking at lost people as opportunities to fill heaven? Are we giving up everything so that we can have treasures in heaven and that lives would be impacted for the kingdom? Now, Father, touch our hearts. Father, may you work in such a perfect way individually and collectively here at Perry Hall that it makes a difference in our lives today. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
Grace in the driest desert. Grace when you feel it warm. Grace when you don't believe it. Grace found in every turn. Grace in the deepest valley. Grace when the night is long. Grace found in every season. Grace has the final word. Grace breaks the power of darkness. Grace strength to win its soul. Grace held in every mountain. Grace fills my deepest void. Grace overtakes my battle. Grace resurrects these bones. Grace lifts me from the ashes. Grace is my victory's all. Grace upon grace, Jesus. Jesus, I'm yours. Forever I surrender all my heart. I see you now, your love, you from the start. I won't forget the faithful God you are.
Folks, you heard at the beginning, we need two more, it's just announcement, two more people for Adventure Camp maybe, but we need a ton of people for children's ministry on Wednesdays and Sundays. Where is the Lord going to use you? There's a benefit of obedience, joy, serving with one another, but there's this chance to live out this heavenly mindedness in how we serve. I read of a lady that was homebound because of disease. And her body was crippled, and she thought, I can't do anything for the Lord. And then it hit her. She was going to make her house a prayer. And she put out advertisements that said, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you can come to this house, and I will pray for you. And people started coming in droves. People she didn't know, non-Christians, just coming to pray. See that this picture of a willingness, and God can use you. So folks, may we process what God has said to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, take us out of here with a renewed heart for the things that matter to you, with a new mindset of things above, heavenly things, with a sense of willingness to run down whatever pathway you have for us. Father, may we be faithful to that. May you be honored to use us here at this church. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed. There is a brief meeting for people doing adventure camp, I believe. Christy Hyman, is that correct? There's a brief meeting. Where is that? In the gym.
Adventure camp next week, not 2 weeks.